Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
And my name is Ed Stetzer. Maybe we should do it that way. My name's Daniel Lim. My name's Ed Stetzer. We're your hosts. Isn't that what they do, like those hokey NPR shows? You know, I'm so-and-so, and you're so-and-so.
Yeah.
I don't know. Not that I'm saying hokey's NPR. Oh, NPR's hokey, because I am on there a lot. So I just want to say, before someone tweets that, and I know somebody will.
I'm sure anyway. NPR is listening into our podcast.
Yeah, you know, they did that startup podcast and they quoted from our stuff.
This is true. Okay. Hey, so what's interesting, do you remember when we first started working together and then we did some videos, some of the intro videos to New Churches, and did something for the exchange that you did? And you were like, okay, Daniel, I want you to say, I'm Daniel. And I was like, Ed, I don't say I'm Daniel. I don't introduce myself as I'm Daniel because my last name is M. And people get confused. So that's why I always introduce myself as my name is Daniel. And you were like, that's weird.
It was weird, but I understand it. I get it. Okay. Yeah.
And then even people, I was preaching last week and the whole staff at this church that I was preaching at, they were like, okay, what's his last name? How do you say his last name? Is it M or is it I'm? Is it M or I'm? And then they were convinced that it was I'm. And then when I introduced myself, I was like, oh, actually it's M. And they're like, no. The pastor had been practicing all that week to introduce me as Daniel Im.
Wow. Wow. Oh, it took him all week. He actually took off all week to say,
oh, of course. It takes that much effort.
I'm exactly.
All right. Okay. So today we have a long question, and it's actually a two-part question.
Oh my gosh. Who gets two parts question?
Plus members get two part questions.
Is this like that's Helen from UPI? It's like Helen from UPI. You don't even get the reference, do you?
No, I've no idea.
Oh my gosh. This makes me sad. You don't know American history. Helen Thomas.
Of course I don't know American history.
Because you need to. You need to, but I mean, isn't Canadian history largely American history? Just with bitterness?
No.
I mean, that's
Canadian history hardly talks about American history until you're like,
it's like peace, order, and good government and confederation. And it ends with Rob Ford. I mean, what else is there in Canadian history?
I don't think he should ever be written into textbook.
No. Okay. So I probably shouldn't have said that. But just to remind everybody, I love Canadians. Matter of fact, I'll be up doing the Multiply Conference in Halifax sometime soon. Now, this podcast will be out before then. So I hope to see everybody in Halifax. Be taking my wife, whose grandfather came through. What is it, the pier there in Halifax where the refugees came or the immigrants came through?
I don't know.
Wow, what Pier 21. So I think. So yeah, Pier 21. So my wife, when we went there, this is totally random. So last time we were in Halifax, Don and I went to Pier 21, which is kind of like Ellis Island. Do you know what Ellis Island is?
Yes. Yep.
Okay, so I want to point out the irony that after saying that you didn't study U.S. history, but you studied Canadian history, you don't know that Pier 21 is ultimately the Ellis Island of Canada. So I just want to point everybody out that after mocking me, I knew Pier 21 and Daniel Lim, the Canadian, knew more about American history than U.S. history,
saying. Okay, yeah. Okay,
so there's a Canadian Museum of Immigration there in Halifax. So we go in there, and Donna wants to look up Grandpa Hop, is his name, Bill Hop. So she looks up, and they find his record, and they all kind of they look. One guy who's shown her the records gives a glance over to another person who comes over to us, and we think, "What do we do?" And they said, "Oh, we're sorry, ma'am. Your grandfather was actually here's his record. He was actually brought over to the home of Waifs and Strays, which is actually, part of some of the really negative history of Canada. But for what it's worth, just really fascinating." How in the U.S. people would be like saying, oh, yeah, he came over. It was really tough. But Canada having a much more gentle and kind spirit in general, I'm not saying everybody's that way, was really like people were there saying we have some more information. We have some references if you want to talk through this with someone who can counsel you through this. And it was fascinating because Donna's grandfather never talked about, some of the home of Waif and Straves, they would actually scoop up poor kids in England, in London, and kind of ship them over to North America.
Fascinating.
And then they'd be placed in homes of, you know, farmers or whatever in Canada. So anyway, that's totally not what we're talking about today. Maybe you'll forgive me for that. You can always edit it out if it's not. But just a little Canadian history there for our listeners. Remember, America, Canada is not America's hat. It's a vibrant, thriving nation with national health care and a growing economy. Okay, I'm moving on from there.
You know, it sounds like you're running for office.
I would like to run for office.
Okay,
I've often thought about being a politician, but then I decided to be a denominational leader, which is like a bad politician.
Okay. All right. So here's the question. We officially launched this past September and are currently meeting in a remodeled train depot that we're renting from the city. Okay. So I'm reading this question, and the reason it's long and it's two part because it's a Plus member question. So I've been going back and forth with him via email, but I was like, this question was such a unique one and such a unique situation. I was like, hey, let's do a deep dive on the podcast.
And we need to stop like one at a time because they're meeting in a train station. That is so cool.
A remodeled train depot. Yeah.
Wow. That's so cool. Okay.
So on the same block, and this is the core of the question, on the same block within 20 yards, there's a older style church building that's being constructed as a part of the historical area. The city rents these facilities out. Now, I found out recently that some friends that lead a local church are in talks to rent that church building facility. We're excited about a great church being able to get into that facility, one that they can call their own and flourish, but we have concerns. Both churches would gather for worship at the same time, and our entrances are within 40 yards of each other. Since we have both, have regularly 50 to 80 people attending each church's worship services, parking will become an issue quickly since it's a shared parking lot. There's a large parking lot that'd meet the need, but it's obscured from view of both facilities, and it's about 150 to 200 yards from our doors. I've also been thinking about signage, since you have to cross the same areas to reach both the entrances, and it can seem confusing or at the very least cluttered for people. And here's the last part of it. We both have a gospel-centered mindset, yet we are distinct bodies of believers. We want to see the Church of Jesus Christ reach our city and have concerns that this might be hindered by the proximity and logistics. Are these concerns valid? Have you seen anything similar that works well? Are there other concerns that need to be addressed? It's a doozy one.
Wow. Yeah. That is fascinating. Let's go back to Pier 21 because that's something I know more about. do you know what part of the country this was in?
No, I don't.
Is it US or Canada? Know anything like that?
It is the US.
Okay. Because part of it would be, you know, 150 yards in Chicago in the winter is different than 150 yards in Houston in the winter. All right, so first this question, one of the questions was, have you seen anything like this? And the answer is actually yes. I've seen this on maybe three occasions.
Okay.
Once, I'm trying to remember where. It was an English-speaking outside of the U.S. I'm not sure if it was Canada, Australia, or U.K., to be perfectly honest. But there were two churches meeting in a very similar situation. It might have been in Australia, but someone in Australia will correct me, but it's kind of, there's a church plant that's meeting kind of down by the water in Sydney, and there's another established church right there, and they're both good churches of similar ideology and theology. And there are two other places I've seen in the U.S.
Okay, and so it's Texas. I looked it up.
Oh, okay. All right, that actually helps. So I would say that is it going to be a little weird? Yes. You're not going to be getting anybody from foot traffic anyway, because you're a pop-up church. You're renting on Sundays.
Yes, that's right.
So I don't think anybody's going to go by who isn't already planning to go by. And so what I would do is I would probably talk to the other church, and I would say to them, hey, listen, let's have a little fun with this. I would say a lot of people won't know the full name. Hopefully the names are different. Hopefully the name's not, Grace Church and, Gracious Church.
Or
you know,
Mercy
it's something
Church.
Or Mercy Church, exactly. and so I put some signage and say from the front and say, here, you put the name of each church there and say for, you could even say, I mean, this would be a neat, I bet this would even get on Twitter. Someone would tweet this. Let's say there were two signs. One saying, let's have fun. Say it's Grace and Mercy, Grace Church and Mercy Church. So on the, go to the left for Grace Church, go to the right for Mercy Church. And so put on there, Mercy Church, 200 feet this way with an arrow. And then under it, put our friends at Mercy Church, in a smaller text, our friends at Mercy Church, 200 feet this way. And then get Mercy Church to say, Mercy Church, 200 feet to the right. And then in smaller font underneath it, our friends at Grace Church, 200 feet that way. And yeah. and I think it would really, people would see that. And it's kind of like Macy's
cool.
and Gimbel's, I think it's a little before your day. But you know, in It's a Wonderful Life, one of the kind of the surprising thing is when the Santa Claus at Macy's sends him over to another store. Well, I mean, the reality is there's going to be a time when somebody, let me give you the church I planted in Nashville. I don't think you were ever there, but you know generally where it was. Mm-hmm. So we would put on there that we meet in the Hendersonville Theater. Now, the movie theater. We actually say the Regal Cinema. And what would happen is, and they've since moved, got their own facility, and it's great, by the way. My wife was there 2 weeks ago. I'm jealous that I had to set up a tear down when I was there. Not that I did that every week, but anyway, lest someone from that church say, I wouldn't see you there every week. But what happened to us all time is people would know that the old theater was bought by Life Church and turned into one of their thriving campuses, 1,000 plus people. So I'm guessing, I used to joke with the campus pastor there at Life Church, how many people, we sent out a big mailer this week, how many people did you get from our mailer? Because people would go to the theater, and when they see a church's meeting in a theater, they think, oh, we've all seen the renovated theater where that church is meeting.
Okay.
So we did try to clarify it some. So we actually said, you know, we're the theater in the streets of Indian Lake, around the square from Barnes & Noble. But yeah, whatever. So were we happy that people went to Life Church? Yeah, ultimately for the kingdom. But I do think that you'll want to clarify, and that signage can be a little fun way to do that. And I would say, too, it's not that big deal 150 yards away for parking. I would just talk with both churches and encourage, particularly as the churches begin to grow, that, hey, we need a plan that our core families will park farther out in these parking lots so that there's room for both of us in here.
That's huge. Oh, man. Ed, that point about the lack of foot traffic.
I think it's all people that are going to be looking for them.
That's huge.
Yeah. And I would say, too, it would be a gracious thing. And let me just say to the pastor, you know, send this podcast to the other pastor. It would be a gracious thing if the two of you made sure your branding was not similar, your colors. You know, if your one's green and gray, the other purple and red. I don't know, because then it can be more obvious that this is a distinct church. And I think if you guys would become friends, if the two pastors, or maybe even the staffs, get together because they see this as gospel work together and root for the other person, I think ultimately this can be kind of a neat thing. And if I were in your shoes, I'd take this a step further. I would try to get the local news I do a press release on this, get the local news to run a story about how two churches are meeting in the same facility and cooperating because they both love one another. We're not competitors, we're co-laborers.
And what a testimony that'd be to unity, to the kingdom, to the church. And what's also would be a fun thing is if you did a joint outdoor worship service in the parking lots one time.
Yeah, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. And just sort of demonstrate that. Now, what'll happen though is people start saying, well, why don't you just merge churches? And you have to have an answer for that.
Yeah.
And you can say, well, you know, we are the same body of Christ, but we have unique vision, each of us. And so we're excited about it. And we're not, you know, since we're not trying to draw people from one another, two is better than one.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, here's the other part of the question.
Because, oh my gosh, this is the longest. Oh my gosh.
You know why it's so long, Ed? It's because you were talking about random stuff at the beginning. That's why it was long.
Wow. That is so mean to your co-host.
All right. So here's the second part of the question.
Let's go to Pier 21.
Okay. Here's the second part. Now, in his question, it was conversations that they were having. Let's say that church decides not to rent that church building, like the new one, and that building is there. Now, this particular situation, the other potential church is gospel centered, has there is kind of a common there's that common evangelistic mission that they share. But let's say another group decides to rent it on Sunday maybe there isn't that alignment in the same way, and maybe there's just conflict in that sense. So right now that other building sits free. Do you think that the church that meets in the remodeled train depot should rent that other building? Do you think they should move to that other building? Now, the concern in his question, as we've been emailing back and forth, is that other building is a traditional church styled building, which doesn't really fit their culture because they're in a, you know, I mean, that's pretty cool, right? A remodeled train depot. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that I would probably use the older church. I think
that you would move over to there.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I think, of course, I haven't seen it, you know, yeah. But if it's a remodeled city owned thing, it's probably going to be cool. And yeah, I think that it would be okay to do that, because I think we're sort of past the time, you know, like in the 90s, you had to sort of have this cool building to say you were an amazing church. And I don't think that was helpful. I think that for today, just having a church that's inviting people is going to be enough to. I don't think an old church building will scare people away, unless it's horrible. I mean, I don't know what it looks like, so unless it's horrible.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have to think through, does it fit the budget?
That's harder to ask that question. We don't know all the details on that one.
Yeah.
But I would say a lot of church plants.
Can you grow into it as well?
Yeah. Exactly. How big is it? And a lot of church plants would rent an established church building and just brand and communicate that they're not an established church. They're thankful for established churches. We don't want them trashing established churches, but they're a new church.
Yeah. For me, let's say the building is too small or it's good for now, but it doesn't really give you time or space to grow. Then instead of doing that, I would say stay where you are and then look for other venues that will support that growth. Because it doesn't really make sense if that building is the same size as your current place just to move for the sake of the style, if you think you might have to move in the next 2 to 3 years. I think that'd be probably too much to wrestle with.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I think that consider that building on its own merit, because we don't know enough about it. But I would not think that it is an automatically better thing for a new church to meet in a rented, renovated train depot. It could be a rented, renovated, former church building. Yeah. I would think that a former church building is going to be naturally designed to have some things you want. But of course, you know, 50 years ago, we weren't designing church buildings the same way. Mm. Or 100 years ago, for sure. I mean, in England, one of the big things that churches are doing now is putting bathrooms in. I was talking to one of my students who is a pastor's 1,000-year-old church, and he's like, yeah, big thing, finally get a bathroom in because, you know, they had to go through, well, it's historic buildings and, you know, all this sort of stuff. So, yeah. So it's like, you don't really think about those things.
That's crazy.
So, yeah. So assuming it has the normal amenities and place for children and all that sort of stuff, I think that would work.
Perfect. Well, we hope that was helpful. And if you also, as you're listening in, have a similar situation where you meet, you know, there's a church right across the road and there's similar values or different values, or there's anything, a similar situation like that you know of, please mention it to us on social media, submit a question in speakpipe.com/newchurches, or you can do that on newchurches.com. And we'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to continue coming alongside you in your mission.
Okay, I got a request. As you know this person, you've been emailing this person.
Yes.
I want to know how this turns out. So you got to make sure you tell us that. I think it'd be interesting.
Sounds good. And thanks again for listening in to this podcast. Be sure to listen into the One Thing podcast as well. Our friends, Scott Sanders and Derek Hanna, they're part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network in the land down under in Australia.
From a land down under.
And recently they've talked about Succession, regional church planting, social media. So just look up the One Thing in your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today.